listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Well, don't touch that dial. Stay a while. I have an interesting program for you. An interesting guest, author, teacher, pastor.
So, in the second part of our series, Joe McIntyre. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jim.
What have you got to tell us today? What's on your heart?
The last time I shared with you, I've been doing a series called Traditions That Hinder Healing. And last time we talked about Job, and I want to continue today to talk about Job. But really, I want you to understand that what the series is really about is removing the obstacles, the veils created by religious traditions that hinder us from seeing God accurately. You see, Father is good. Our theme verse for the series is James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. So, how many lousy gifts are from above? I know this is hard, but this is deep. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. You know, the New Testament is radical. The ministry of Jesus is radical. And sometimes we want to continue to embrace Old Testament truth, not realizing it's in conflict with New Testament revelation. And the book of Job would be a case in point. Well, God was controlling the devil's assault on Job, wasn't he? Didn't he permit Satan to attack Job? Well, it's important that we understand the why of some Old Testament events. Because God had genuinely delegated to man authority, man had certain privileges. In fact, let's talk about this for a minute. In the beginning of the book of Job, there's a heavenly courtroom scene. And the sons of God are coming before God's throne, and Satan is coming among them. Well, now, why would God create a universe in which he would allow a rebellious being whose very nature is to instigate rebellion in others to come before his presence into his heavenly courtroom? That's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Well, how did that happen? Was that the way God created things? Was that God's intention? Did God say, you know, I could really use an adversary who will torment my people and come into my presence and tell me what he's going to do? That would be great. Maybe I should create a being like that. Well, we know that Satan is a fallen angel. We know that he rebelled against heaven. Well, if that's so, why is he allowed to come before God and accuse Job? And if you answer this question, you really answer the question of why you can never be another Job. Because the answer to that question is the fall of man. Well, let's put it this way. Adam's authority as God's representative in the earth, as his dominion sub-ruler, was to come to that heavenly throne room to get instructions. Right? God manifested himself. He manifested himself to Adam. He came down to meet with him and he gave him instructions. You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you shall freely eat of the tree of life. Those were instructions, weren't they? They came when the Lord met with Adam. Well, isn't it likely that that would have been the pattern for Adam, that he would come and meet with the Father, get instructions, and carry out his dominion assignment? But what happened in the fall was Satan took the authority that belonged to Adam, and that meant that if the race of Adam was now subject to the destiny of the fallen angel Satan, unless they get redeemed, Satan knows that God can't judge him without judging fallen humanity. So Satan arrogantly comes into the presence of God and accuses the saints before God. And so we have this horrible situation. The accuser has taken our right to come to God and stand in his presence, and he's coming as an accuser rather than as an intercessor. So let's look in Luke chapter 4 and see if we can find any evidence that this is so. How many think if you were the devil and the Son of God had manifested in a physical body and was walking the earth, and you were going to tempt him, that you'd shoot your best shot, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd pull out your big guns. You know, you're not going to say, you need to overeat, Jesus. You know, you're gonna bring some things that have some weight to them that are going to accomplish your purpose, right? Well, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. This has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Well, now, if that wasn't a real temptation, if Satan really didn't have that to offer, that it's not a temptation, Jesus would have said, devil, get out of here. Which is what he said anyway. But notice this now. Satan, see, he's saying, all the glory and authority of the kingdom of the earth has been given to me. Who was it originally intended to be given to? Adam. Whose authority has he usurped? Adam's. So, if that's so, and Jesus said, remember in the upper room, Jesus said, now the ruler of this world is cast out. What's he doing? He's looking to the victory of the cross, and he's saying, this is going to result in the ruler of this world being cast out. Where is he going to be cast out of? Heavenly places. The book of Revelation, the man-child is caught up, and guess who's thrown out? The accuser of the brethren. Now, I want you to think through this, because you could say, well, that's interesting, Joe. That's a nice teaching. But you see, we have many in the church today who are convinced that God is orchestrating the devil's attacks on their life for a divine purpose. Well, God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. You know, the Word says that. But it doesn't necessarily mean what's interpreted into that, which is this Job scenario where, well, the devil can only do what God allows him to do. Well, that's a fine setup. God and the devil working together. You know, if the devil knew that what he was doing to you was God's purpose, he wouldn't do it. I mean, he is a rebel. He's in antagonistic hostility to the kingdom of light. He's not going to willingly cooperate with God to produce God's divine results. Now, I realize that God can use what the devil means for evil, and he can turn it for good. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that tests and trials don't happen and God can't work through them to mature us. But what I believe is a deception is that they're orchestrated by God. And this is the text in Job that comes from. You see? And God says, where you been? No, God says, where have you been? And Satan says, I've been... Thanks for the help. Usually you're right, but that was a... Good. Yeah, you probably should repent in dust, cloth, and ashes. That's it. I once was preaching along, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to repent in dust, cloth, and ashes." And Pam has never let me live that one down. It's sackcloth and ashes. So, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. So God says to Satan, "Where have you been?" He says, "I've been going to and fro, up and down in the earth." And God says, now this is the verse that's mistranslated and gives the wrong impression. "Have you considered my servant Job?" In other words, Satan, look. That's what it sounds like. But if you look in the margin of most Bibles and in Young's literal translation, it says, "Have you set your heart against my servant Job?" He's an upright man. He's righteous. And God lists what's right with Job, and if you read it that way, it changes the whole meaning. It's not, "Hey, you're looking for somebody to pick on? Have you considered Job?" It's rather, "Have you set your heart against my servant?" You see? But here's the problem. Under the old covenant, Satan had the right to oppress humanity unless they moved into covenantal faith. Now think about it. Hebrews 11, "The faith that pleased God and the righteousness which is by faith began in the Garden of Eden with Abel's sacrifice." You do remember that in Hebrews 11. So, is Job after Abel? Historically now, I'm talking.
Yeah.
This is not a trick question. This is just simple. Yeah, you don't know whether I'm a tricky or not. That's right. But so here's the deal. So Job is required, in the light that he has, and in his period, it's the patriarchal period, so the patriarch of the family offers sacrifices for the family, right? So he's offering sacrifices. And it says Job, he was concerned that his kids might be partying. Now, it doesn't say partying, but it indicates that kind of a thing, that they're dishonoring God. So, he's offering sacrifices. But here's the thing. How many know when religious things are done out of fear rather than out of faith, God can't honor them? You see, there's three reasons people serve God. One, they hope to be rewarded. Two, they're afraid of being punished. And three, out of love for God. Religion often serves God out of the fear of punishment. And fear is the opposite of faith. It isn't faith. I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about the woman who came to me and asked me why her pleading the blood over her relatives wasn't being effective. And I said, "Well, we kind of talked about it a little bit, and I wasn't sure what the answer was." And so I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, how come that she's pleading the blood over her relatives and it's not working? And the Lord said, "She's pleading the blood over them out of fear, not in faith. Doing a good thing, but doing it from the wrong heart." See, you've got to deal with your fears before you try to exercise authority. See, you want to minister out of your rest in the finished work of Christ, not out of your fear that your relatives are going down the toilet. And Job offered these sacrifices continually. He got into fear. Now, Job was an amazingly wonderful man for the time that he lived. And when he said that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, he didn't know, he couldn't read Job 1 and 2. So he thought it was the Lord, and in the light that he had, he was honoring the Lord. He just happened to be wrong about who really was the source of his problems. And you see, so many today want to live under the Job mindset. Well, God allowed it for a reason. Now let's think that through. What did God allow under the ministry of Jesus? He allowed the sick to be healed, the oppressed to be set free, the needs of the people to be met in abundance, lives to be transformed. And how many did he turn away because God was dealing with them? Zero. He didn't turn any away because he was doing the perfect will of the Father. So what we have to learn to do is look at the ministry of Jesus to form our doctrines, because every Old Testament doctrine is subject to the renewing in the New Covenant and the changes that have come. I mentioned to you Revelation 12:11, that the accuser has been cast out. See, he can't accuse you in the third heaven. He can accuse you from the second heaven, the psychic realm, but he has no authority in the third heaven. And you do. And the Bible says that you and I have come unto Mount Zion, unto the New Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Wow, won't that be great? Well, maybe it's great now. Maybe your spirit's been made righteous now. In fact, that's one of the main themes of the book of Hebrews, is the perfection of the human spirit, made perfect through the one sacrifice of Christ. But then he says an amazing thing. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. So what if he, let's imagine for a minute the accuser actually could come into that realm. So he comes into that realm and he says, Joe, you've fallen short. You're not everything you're supposed to be. You're not walking perfectly. You don't have perfect holiness. And I say, look, blood. Argument over. Unless I give place on a mental level, unless I let him, because my mind's not renewed, I let the devil torment me, I let him condemn me, I let him shame me. You see, he'll try to do that. And if he can, he'll pull me down to walking in that level. Yeah. But you see, the level I'm called to walk in is with my spirit in dominion over my soul and my body. Yeah. With my renewed, recreated spirit that's been made righteous. You say, well, I don't see the evidence of great righteousness. Well, you're not looking deep enough. What God's trying to do is get the river to flow out, you see? And transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. See, your mind is like a gate, a series of gates. And the human spirit has all the fruit of the Spirit in it. But when the long-suffering flow comes, if there's a stronghold of anger, that becomes a gate to stop the outflow of long-suffering. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a flow of purity coming out of you in your human spirit. But if you've been conditioned into a stronghold of lust, then your mind will stop the purity of Christ from flowing into your mind and through you, and you'll act on whatever stronghold is in your mind. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds of fear, of anger, of lust, of rejection, of all of these issues, because they don't reflect the true you. You're a new creation. You're the workmanship of God. You're recreated in Christ Jesus. And God began a perfect work in you, in your spirit. He's trying to get it to take over your soul, and eventually it'll take over your body, and you'll spend eternity in that fullness of divine life. But He has begun a good work in you, and He will complete it until the day of Christ. You have been predestined. Now get this. You're not predestined to go to heaven. You're going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. But you're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Oh, won't it be wonderful over in glory? No. Well, yes. It will. But here's the thing. He hasn't. There's nothing in the Bible that says He's postponed this conformity to another age. He's able to conform us in this age according to our faith. So, well, I'm just too weak, and I just have always struggled with this, and I've always had that problem. My family's always had this. Well, you can believe that if you want to. But I would recommend against it. Why don't you believe the Word? I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and my Father's fully able to do it. See, now, I'm not boasting on me. I'm boasting on my Father. I'm saying, well, you know, sure, I've got limitations, but I'm not looking to me. I'm not depending on me. My hope and confidence are not in me. They're in my Father and what He does. Amen. 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 And so essentially, in many respects, the Christian life is getting a clear image of the Father and learning how to forget you. You say, well, aren't we supposed to be working on ourselves? Well, how's that been working for you? Why don't you let His grace work in you? See, if His grace works in you, you'll be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In Hebrews, He's called the Spirit of grace. So how hard do I have to work, and how much do I have to pray and fast to get the Lord willing to help me? None. Zero. But I do have to believe it. I do have to catch sight of what He wants to do for me and invite Him to do it. You see? It's simple. It's childlike. We recently were listening to Bill Johnson preach. This last week we were with Bill and Randy in Abilene, Texas. And Bill brought a brilliant message about how there's these two facets of our walk with the Lord. There's this faith authority side where we're boldly declaring that what God has said, and we're commanding, and we're releasing dominion. But he said, but there's this other side where sometimes what you need to do is just get quiet before Father and wait in His presence and just receive as a child. I think we see that modeled in the ministry of Jesus. I think in His prayer life, He was the Son waiting on His Father for instructions, for impartation, for life. But in His ministry, He was the bold Lion of Judah, breaking and destroying the works of darkness and commanding everything contrary to Father's will to bow its knee. But you see, we're called to walk in both of those things, that quiet, peaceful rest before God where we wait in His presence, and then that bold authority where we command the powers of darkness to flee. And we command our circumstances to get in line with God's will for our lives. And we refuse to allow the thief to come and to put up roadblocks to us accomplishing all that God has called us to accomplish. So, Job was a fine man in his day. And his responses were good in his time. But they're inappropriate for you because you know who the problem was And the other problem Job had is, even if he did see it was Satan, he had no authority over Satan. In fact, Satan had authority over him. It was only his faith that pulled him out of that place of satanic dominion. But that's not how it is with you. Your Savior has already stripped him of his authority and power. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. How much does that leave for the devil? None. And who are you aligned with? Yeah. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus was doing when he walked the earth, revealing the kingdom. And that's what he told us to do, to preach the kingdom and demonstrate it with power. So God is good. You're not another Job. You have authority over the devil. God hasn't arranged a satanic plot for you. But folks, I got good news for you. Things have changed. God is for us. Satan is defeated. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Amen? Praise God.
There is a way when you feel you cannot make it. There is a way when you think you just can't take it. This very day, there's a way with the Lord. There is a peace that passes all understanding. We have a God that can lift his mighty hand and make us a way where there was none before. Well, I know sometimes you feel that your burden is just too great to bear. You look around for someone to help you, and nobody seems to care. We have a God that can move in a mountain. He is the King, and his love's a flowing fountain this very day. There's a way with the Lord. I have seen the sick and the lame begin to walk, and I've seen them restored to health. And I have seen the impoverished man brought from rags and want to wealth. There is a way when you feel you cannot make it. There is a way when you think you just can't take it. This very day.
Thank you for listening to The Empowering Grace, pastor and author Joe McIntyre. Visit our show notes page on empoweringgrace.org for a full transcript of this episode and more from Joe on this topic.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.